What's up and welcome to the best podcast for coaches, The Coaches Collective. I'm Derek Perkins. I'm here with Dan Casey and Chris Maleo. Each week, we give you access to the most innovative coaches and leaders in and out of sports. We ask the questions, you get the answers. Real content you can take from the show back to your teams. This week, in episode 6, we sit down with Coach Jennifer King, assistant running backs coach for the Washington football team. Coach King also happens to be the first African-American female full-time assistant coach in NFL history. Her story of dedication and persistence is one that should resonate with all coaches, not only aspiring female coaches. If you're enjoying the content, please take a minute to subscribe, leave us a review, and give us a follow on Twitter at Coach Collect. It really helps the podcast to continue to grow so we can keep the high-quality content coming your way. As always, get your pen and paper ready for another episode of the Coaches Collective. Coaches, hello and welcome back to episode 6 of the Coaches Collective podcast. We are really excited to be with you again. We are here with Coach Jennifer King of the Washington football team. She's the assistant running backs coach there. We are fired up to have her on. And Coach King, I've been following you on Twitter. I was saying earlier that it's just been cool to see you blow up over the past few years and really take the football world by storm. And you have an incredible story. I mean, to go from coaching basketball to coaching in the NFL, can you take us through a little bit of your journey? I mean, I just think so many coaches can relate to you in some of the aspirations you had and just some of the perseverance you've demonstrated in your coaching career so far.
Oh, man. Yeah. Thanks for having me. First of all, it's awesome to join you guys. Yeah. What a journey. You know, how did I get here? And, you know, I was coaching college basketball for 9 years. And during that time, I started coaching football as well at lower levels, so middle school, high school. And I just always loved football. I was also playing at the time, playing quarterback for a women's tackle team. So football's just been a big part of my life for so long. And, you know, long story short, when I got my head coaching job at Johnson Wales University in Charlotte, I was literally right beside the Panthers facility.
Right.
And so it was crazy. And, you know, I could literally hear practice when I'm sitting in my basketball office, and it was wild. And, you know, I was in a hotel room in Atlanta. I'll never forget recruiting. And there was I just had time to waste until games started. There was a female with the NFL that I had heard of by the name of Sam Rappaport. She was in charge of their diversity. And I kind of just cold emailed her out of nowhere. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. And she responds within like a minute. And we start connecting, and she connects me with Scott Pioli, who was the assistant GM for the Falcons at the time. So I meet him and connect with him and spend a day with the Falcons. And, you know, when after that day, I knew, you know, I wanted to be in football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she invited me to the Women's Coaches Forum, and at the forum, Coach Rivera was there. So, you know, my sole purpose, I felt, was to introduce myself to him and build that connection, because I'm literally right next door. He has no idea right. Who I am. So we were able to connect there and start building a really good relationship. He invited me over to the rookie mini camp, which was coming up, which was a 2-day rookie mini camp. So I was excited for that. And 2 days ended up turning into 4 months. I was there through the whole offseason and preseason. Wow. And, you know, we were coming off of a national championship with the basketball team. So, like, my basketball career is obviously heading in the right direction. But football was pulling. And the next season, around October, I get a call from Hines Ward. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm a part of this new league called the Alliance of American Football. And first of all, I think someone's playing. Like, my friends are like jokesters. So I think, like, why would Hines Ward be calling me during the middle of the day? So he calls, and, you know, we end up building a good relationship. And he introduced me to Coach Rick Neuheisel, and he invites me to come out and work for his staff out in Arizona. So I worked with the receivers and did some special teams out there in Arizona. And obviously, the AAF ended. Got back to Carolina, wasn't sure what I was going to do, and Coach Rivera reached out to me and invited me to come back to Carolina. So I went back and started working with the running backs then, was there through, you know, the offseason, preseason, and all that stuff. And when that ended, once again, Scott Pioli reached out to me and said he was friends with Coach Stevens up at Dartmouth, and they had had Callie Bronson already there the previous season, but she had moved on to the NFL, and he was looking to fill a position, again, hopefully with another, you know, qualified female, because they liked what Callie did, and obviously it set her up to do great things. And I didn't know where Dartmouth was. I'd heard of it. But, you know, essentially I moved to New Hampshire and enjoyed my season there. We were able to win the Ivy, and, you You know, when I got back from there, coach had taken the job in DC, and you know, he hit me up and let me know he think he had a full year internship for me. And you know, I went up and interviewed, and things went well. And last season was, you know, a heck of a ride for us, and kind of much more successful than we even thought we would be. And
right.
You know, recently got my promotion, so I'll be back now working with the running backs once again next season.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congrats.
That is awesome.
So cool.
Coach, you know, something that we're super passionate about and we try to talk about every episode is culture. And that's a huge piece of what we want to push out there. Is just there's not a copy paste with culture. So we always love hearing from coaches, and whether it be an assistant or a head coach who you're working for. So you've obviously had the opportunity to work under a guy like Ron Rivera. You touched on your relationship with him, but he's a guy that obviously has a great grasp on culture. A guy that's went to a Super Bowl, everything that he went through this year. Talk to us a little bit about how he goes about building culture within a team, and what that looks like for you guys there in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I was so comfortable taking this position, is I know the type of person he is, and the type of culture he was going to build here in DC, and I wanted to be a part of it. And you know, I think it starts with standard, you know, what you will accept and what you won't accept. And mm-hmm. I saw that in Carolina, and that's one of the first, I think, lessons I learned in the NFL, you know, seeing somebody getting cussed out because they're at 5 yards when they're supposed to be at six. And yeah. You know, but that's the standard that they have. And I think he really came into DC with that standard, and you know, the team really started taking the personality of him, I thought, with his fight obviously with cancer this season. Our team just started fighting and battling like he was doing off the field. And I mean, he's going through these troubles and treatments, and he's at practice every day. And it's like, how? Wow. Like, how are you doing this right now? Like, wow. You just went through chemo the past like 3 hours or 4 hours, and here you are on the practice field. And but to see that, I mean, you can't help but want to battle and fight, even if it's just for him. But, you know, I think our guys started caring about each other, and, you know, being a part of something bigger than yourself is what it's all about. And I think we really bought into that. And, you know, it was a very, I guess, breath of fresh air for the organization. And, you know, the people that had been there just say, you know, it's fun to come to work again. And it's really fun to be a part of.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Coach, one of the things I admire so much about your story is that, and this is something that I try to live by, is 10 seconds of courage. Just said, if you can put yourself in the vicinity of 10 seconds of courage at any given moment, like, I think you can create opportunities for yourself. And I think you are a glowing example of that. I mean, and you look at your background, like, it doesn't scream like, hey, this should be a football coach, right? Like, you talked about your basketball background and your experience. Can you kind of talk a little bit about, and maybe even share some advice for these, you know, young coaches that are out there, not just young female coaches, but young coaches out there that are like on the quote unquote grind, trying to figure it out. And, you know, like what advice would you give them, and what would you share? What type of insight would you share?
It was a couple of things that helped me, you know, personally. And, you know, speaking of that standard, I kind of, from a movie, I developed the personal mantra of really be so good that you can't be denied. And mm-hmm. I think it's so important for young coaches and coaches in general just to always work and grind and do what needs to be done. It's not about trying to, you know, be better than the next coach. It's just being a champion in your job. And that's something that I really focused on and locked in on. And, you know, you have to make yourself so valuable that, you know, even if they don't have anything for you, it's like, we got to find something, because right. Who's going to do this when they leave? You know, okay. And make yourself that valuable for the team. And, you know, I started saying yes to a lot of things that I didn't want to do and didn't want to go to. And you never know who you may meet. And I had so many chance encounters along the way that turned out to be either mentors or people to just help me along the way, or just great friendships to help in this business. So those are the two things that helped me really get to where I am now, you know, off of the field. And, you know, there's no substitute for those relationships that you're able to build.
Mm. No doubt. Well, Coach, I mean, obviously, you know, you had to kind of kick the door down to get in. I mean, obviously, like you went through some hurdles that probably most people haven't even experienced before, trying to cross over from one sport to another even. But obviously, like, when you get there, like, you don't stay unless you're qualified. Like, there, like, you obviously have demonstrated over time the value you bring to these different programs, whether it's Dartmouth, Panthers, and now up at the Washington football team. And you know, one of the things that I think, you know, seeing you working with the running backs, one of the things that I've really pulled out in going back and watching some of the Carolina stuff, and even this year, what you guys did in Washington, was just how uniquely you guys use your running backs. You know, obviously when you got a guy like Christian McCaffrey in Carolina, but then you got a guy like Antonio Gibson in Washington, those are skill sets that aren't just, you know, line up 10 yards behind the quarterback and get a handoff. Like, you're splitting them out wide. They're basically receivers as well. Like, what does it look like to coach a position that you guys use so dynamically, maybe even more dynamically than anybody else in the league? Like, what does that look like to prepare those guys to be used in that way?
Yeah, I absolutely love coaching the running backs in our offense, just because, you know, the reasons that you stated, we get to do some of everything, you know, and working with receivers, that background comes into play for me because we're used as receivers so much. And, you know, you catch the ball, run the ball, protection. We're involved all over the place. And that makes it fun to work with our group. And we have a young group, but they were so hungry to be better. And then, you know, me coming from a background in the offense after working with Christian, of course, the young guys want to know, how did he do things, or what did he do? So it's cool to share, you know, just that knowledge that I gained in Carolina working with him, and, you know, his work ethic to share with these guys now. So, you know, our backs are definitely, you know, it's okay to have that receiver background. You know, Antonio hardly had any carries in college, but now he's an NFL running back because of his athletic ability. But he's able to play running back in our offense, and, you know, did it really well this year.
Yeah. Well, is there, for you as a coach, was there crossover in the way that you were training people athletically between basketball and football? Like, did you feel like there was some crossover in principles that you felt like helped prepare you to be in that football space?
Yeah, I think the ability to communicate, you know, communication is huge. And can you build those relationships? That's first and foremost for me. You know, when I got my head coaching job coaching basketball, you know, that team had won 7 games, you know, before I got there. So my main thing was to build trust and communication with that team, to let them know that I care for them off of the court as well. I care about what's going on, because once you gain that trust, they're going to play hard for you. You know, they're going to do what they need to do for you there. So that's always number one for me, to start building those relationships with them. And it's been no different for me in football to be able to have those relationships and have conversations that may not even involve football. You know, how's your mom doing? You know, just stuff like that. It's important. And I think, you know, they have that trust in you, and they know that they can come to you if something's going wrong, because, you know, sometimes things off the field are affecting what they're doing on the field. So it's important to know what could be happening to them, and know those people's names as well. It's all important.
Yeah, for sure. One last question, then I'll let Derek and Chris jump in here as well. But, you know, obviously going from basketball to football is one thing, but going from coaching college athletes to professional athletes, what was the biggest hurdle that you felt like you had to clear between somebody who's, you know, maybe on scholarship and obviously taking it seriously, between that and then this is the profession? You know, it's obviously a different world. What was the biggest difference for you as a coach to going between those two levels?
Yeah, I think when you get to the NFL, I mean, it's the elite of the elite. So you have some of the best athletes in the world that want to get better. So the challenge is, how do I make them better? How do I challenge them to be better? But they want to be better. And that's one of the coolest things, I think, it is working with these guys. You know, they're not content with just being in the NFL, because we all know, I mean, it doesn't last long if you get that mindset. Right. So they always want to be better and want to be pushed. And that's one of the things I discovered when I first started working in football at the NFL level. I mean, when I was working in middle school, high school, I feel like, you know, the guys just want to play. They didn't care a lot about that I was a female. But when I got to the higher levels, they didn't care, because they found a way that I could help make them better. And that's all that mattered to them. They didn't care that I was a female coaching them. How can you help me? That's all they care about. And, you know, that's what I've been able to do. And, you know, that's helped me get this far. Hmm.
Coach, one of the things too that stands out, obviously you hit a little bit about this with your experience and your background at Dartmouth. You know, we've been impressed with Coach Tevens. I mean, you yourself are a trailblazer. You're a woman of color coaching in the NFL. Like, it's incredible. You know, Coach Tevens, I think, has one of the things that stands out about him is he has created opportunities for women to coach. And now, you know, you've kind of seen that translate and trickle up to the NFL. He also doesn't teach, or I guess he doesn't practice tackling, right? So what are some things that you have learned from him? Like, what was that experience like at Dartmouth? Because it's turned into a little bit of a pipeline, you know, with female coaches. And then have you taken any of the non-contact, like no tackling techniques to the NFL with you at all?
Yeah, Coach Tevens is, you know, he's a special guy. And it was so fun to be on his staff at Dartmouth, just because, you know, his leadership and how he manages the team is super special. And I think, you know, him being innovative in ways that sometimes people didn't look at as far as not having contact and not tackling and just how he went about his business. Some of those things have now carried over into many areas. And I think that's something that I really liked about him, is that he's so open-minded and he just wants, right, you know, what's best for his program. And it doesn't matter who it is or whatever. He just wants what's best for Dartmouth. And, you know, he's willing to step out and do that. And now, obviously, with the success that I've had and Cali has had, it has opened up some sort of a pipeline for women to go. And one cool thing about Dartmouth, they allow you to work. It's not like you come in and you're like shadowing somebody. Like, you have real responsibilities and that's all you want, you know, and it's up to you what you do with those opportunities. And as far as, you know, not tackling in practice, I've actually never worked with a team that tackled in practice, except when I was working in like middle school, because, you know, you have to teach them. So right, I've like no time in Carolina, when I was in Arizona, Dartmouth, and now in Washington, like, I've never seen anybody get tackled in practice. It's an accident if someone hits the ground in practice.
Coach, you've coached at multiple different levels and different sports too. And I know a lot of the coaches that we talk with, they all have aspirations of moving up and maybe one day coaching the NFL. Give us a little look, like, in season, what's your day to day look like now in the NFL compared to, even coaching small college basketball? What's the day to day kind of workload look like for you?
Yeah, it's long, man. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, the wheat get eaten in this business, and right, you know, you got to be ready for it. Even some days that are super long, I have to remind myself, this is what you asked for. This is what you wanted. So don't complain about it now. But, you know, during the season, I mean, we're working, you know, 15 hours a day trying to prepare for the upcoming opponent, you know, getting our game plans in. And you guys know how game plans work. We're working on, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as far as our installs for first down, second down, third down, red zone and all that stuff. But so much goes into preparing, and the days are really, really long. It's a grind, you know, to try to win, because, you know, in football, the smallest things win and lose games. And at the NFL level, you know, everybody's so good. Coaches are so good. It's going to be something small usually that determines, you know, who wins and loses. So we try to do everything we can to prepare ourselves, our team, and our guys to perform, you know, at optimal levels on Sundays.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell us about the you go from coaching small college basketball, and obviously there were some years in between, and you've said it before, you're not an overnight success. I mean, you've put in a lot of work to get to this point, and I know you're not done, but give us a glimpse of what it was like the first time you stepped onto an NFL field.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's kind of funny because it was for the rookie mini camp. So literally, I only knew like one person out there, because it's a bunch of guys like trying to make the team. It's a bunch of free agents. So it wasn't like it was, you know, Luke and Cam and all these guys on the first time I stepped out there. So by the time I encountered those guys, I felt like I was a vet. So I didn't, you know, I stepped out with confidence and it wasn't a big deal anymore. But I think it's a testament to those guys that made it a lot easier as well. You know, I'll never forget. Once I started there in the offseason, in our first offseason meeting, you know, we're in our meeting room and it's my first time. I'm kind of standing against the wall, just standing there. No one knows who I am, really. And before I'm introduced, I remember Luke Kuechly walks by, introduces himself, and like goes to his chair. And that shows the type of guy that he is. But it was multiple guys that did that. And I think that made it so much easier, because they didn't make a big deal out of it. And they were so nice. And obviously I knew who he was, but he still introduced himself, you know, as if I didn't know who he was.
That's awesome. You know, obviously being at the highest level now and, you know, being an assistant coach in Washington, you know, you've kind of, you know, in the eyes of just about everybody in the coaching world, like, you've made it. But you also were there for maybe one of the most unique experiences in all of professional football with the Alliance of American Football. And obviously, like, as a football junkie, like, I remember watching those games that you were with the Hot Shots, correct?
Yeah.
Arizona. I mean, that was such a fun team to watch. I think you had John Wolford was playing quarterback, and you just had a fun offense to watch. It was a blast. I think everybody was loving it. And then it just disappeared overnight. What was that like, you know, being in the locker room for a fun, exciting new venture, and then all of a sudden it's just gone?
Yeah, that was such an experience. We had so much fun. Like, I don't think I'll ever have another job where we'll have as much fun as we did. I mean, we're in Phoenix, the weather's great coaching football. And, you know, Coach Neuheisel was awesome. And our whole staff was awesome. We had a bunch of older guys. So, you know, everybody was laid back because most of these guys, Nick Aliotti running the defense, he's had his career, you know, they're just having fun. And it was such a great atmosphere. And, you know, work hard and have fun was Neuheisel's motto for us. And we did that. And, you know, for it to just end, it was one of the most, you know, strangest feelings ever. Cause I'll never forget, we're preparing. This is on like a Tuesday. We're preparing for the team from Birmingham. That's who we had at next. I still remember who we were playing in our offensive staff room during our game plan, stuff like we always. And, you know, our GM walks in, he's like, yeah, you know, some news is taking place. We're not sure what's going to happen. And it's like, what, you know? And so we just kind of, we keep working because we don't know. We have to get things done if we're gonna play. And ultimately they tell us that, you know, that there's no more league. It's essentially over. And in typical hotshot fashion, we all went out that night and had a great time out at the local bar in Neuheisel. Some of the players came by. I mean, it was just, that's typical of what we would do. It was so fun. Even in, you know, sad times, we still decided to go out and have a good time.
Now, did you guys end up claiming the championship in that league? Like, how did that? I know Spurrier was making a claim at one point. Yeah. Like, who's the champion of the Alliance?
Yeah, I think we, you know, Spurrier was trying to claim it, but you know, we were leading the West, they were leading the East, and we won the head to head matchup.
Okay,
so
okay.
I called his call fool's gold. That's what I like to call it. Yeah,
that's amazing, man.
What about right now? Like, what's the kind of like the relationship that a lot of the female NFL coaches have? Like, do you guys get together in the off season? Do you guys communicate a lot? Like, group chat? I mean, what's that like? Because I mean, you've got Lowe, you've got yourself, you've got Callie, Katie Sowers. I mean, there's other ones that I'm not mentioning. I think there's like 8 of you guys that are just absolutely killing it. How are you guys supporting each other? Like, what's that look like?
Yeah, we definitely have a group chat with a couple of them. I mean, we're all close. I knew Callie from playing. We played against each other a few times. So I already knew she was. And then I met the other ladies later through coaching. And I think we're pretty close. You know, we're all kind of forging our own path together. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to have those people, you know, on the same journey with you that you can talk to sometimes about things or just have a good time and relax in the group chat. But, you know, if you really need to know something or want to ask something, they're also there for that as well. So, I mean, it's a great group of women. I think that's what I love about this group. I feel like all the women now working in the NFL are exactly where they deserve to be. You know, it's not anyone there for publicity or anything like that. These women have, you know, busted their behinds to get where they are. And like you said, it's not anything that happened overnight. You know, I'm about to start, I think, my 11th year coaching football now.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Man, that's awesome. Amazing. Well, I mean, I know from, you know, in following you and getting to know you a little bit, obviously, you know, my daughter's about to turn one year old, and you know, I hope to have a career in coaching and continue doing this, you know, well into me being a dad and a granddad and all that. But for my daughter to have someone that she can look to in my profession that she can say, you know, I want to be like Jennifer King when I grow up is such a cool thing for me as a dad to be able to point to somebody and say, like, honey, you can do it. And so I think there's a lot of guys if you ever get like anything negative, that's a shame, because I think it's just the coolest thing in the world that you're chasing your dream. And to be able to tell my daughter, like, there's so many amazing women in this game that you can look up to. And, you know, I think all three of us, as we've talked, like, we want to see the game just continue to grow in this area. And, you know, I think there's opportunities for women in high school to get involved in college and all these different things. Like, I think that there needs to be a push in football for this. And I just want to thank you personally for the way that you've been a trailblazer, and we really appreciate you. And obviously you're a heck of a coach, and we're just grateful to get some time to talk with you, for sure.
No doubt, man. I appreciate that. It means a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I was saying that I was talking with my wife about you earlier, and we were kind of saying the same thing. Like, you are literally living history of football. Like, there's going to be things written about you in football. Like, when they write the history of football, when they, you know, they do things at the Hall of Fame, your name is going to be mentioned in a lot of this. And that is so amazing. I mean, obviously living through it, like, what is that experience? I mean, I'm sure you don't think about it right now, but you will at some point. And it's gotta be really humbling, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the type of person, I'm super laid back. And, you know, I was telling this story yesterday, actually. I never considered, I guess, the magnitude of my promotion. Like, it never crossed my mind. Like, I'm in my office, coach comes by, tell me what's going to happen. I'm like, oh, man, you know, I'm thankful. And I go back to work, and you know, I don't even text or call anybody. I just keep working. And it never crosses my mind, you know, the weight that it carried until all of a sudden, you know, I have all these requests and Robin Roberts wants to chat with me on Good Morning America. It's like, what? Like, are you serious? Like me? So, I mean, it's insane. And I think you really hit the nail on the head. I don't even think I understand the magnitude. I still don't understand the magnitude of it. It'll be something down the road, you know, when I look back and realize, you know, what I was able to accomplish. But yeah, for now, I'm still amazed that all these people want to talk to me.
Well, there's good reason. Well, okay. One thing I wanted to make sure I got from you before we let you go. I don't know how much you can really give us here, but you know, as coaches, we're always interested in, like, you know, who are you looking at? Like, who are you studying? Like, what offenses are you interested in? Obviously, we touched on the fact that you guys do some really cool stuff with your running backs, and you have your entire NFL career done some cool stuff with your running backs. Like, who are you paying attention to in the offseason? Is it just NFL people? Is there some college people you're checking out? Like, I would love to know who you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I like to watch everybody, you know, and obviously with our capabilities, we can see all college games, all NFL games. So,
no doubt.
You know, we have our offseason studies that we've been doing, and one of my responsibilities was QB movements and quick games. So I've been watching a lot of, you know, that stuff from college and the NFL, but I look at everything. I mean, I see some of the stuff you post, and you know, I watch it all. And you know, at Dartmouth, we had a mobile quarterback, so you know, over so many times, we would have two different run plays going on at one time, and
totally.
And I love that stuff. And
yeah,
you know, you're not going to have that in the NFL as much, but just to put it in my mental Rolodex for the for the future, you know, I
no
love
doubt.
Stuff like that. I'm really big on RPO games. I like to watch the Chiefs. They have a lot of good RPO things. So. I'll watch anybody.
No doubt. I love it.
Well, Coach, we'll leave you with this question. And I hope our listeners, they take away from this episode is the fact that you've got a great story, not only for women, but for just coaches in general across the board. So for the aspiring coach, male or female, what's your message?
Yeah, guys, you got to work. You know, you have to be ready. And that was something that Coach Rivera always told me in Carolina, like, be ready. And, you know, sometimes he would say it and I like, I mean, like, I'm ready, but like literally like be ready, because we never know when you might get an opportunity. And that's just what happened to me. You know, I'm coaching basketball and, you know, I had a background in football, but coaching basketball, life's good. And just like that, I have an opportunity to now go coach football full time. And what I prepared myself for that. So when the opportunity came, I was able to do it. And I always tell people, you know, if your dream job's offered to you tomorrow, you know, are you prepared for it? Are you ready for it? Because so many times people want things that they're not ready for. And, you know, make sure that you're ready to accept it so you can go knock it out the park. And, you know, that's the big thing for me. It's just always perfect your craft. Always be working to get better. There's something we can always be doing as coaches.
No doubt. Well, Coach King, we can't thank you enough for being on here. We want to be respectful of your time, but we wish you all the best, and know that we'll be following along closely and rooting for you guys in Washington. And can't wait to see what your running backs do next year. I know they're going to have a big year. You got a good crew, and they're going to have a good year next year. So we're looking forward to watching.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I got to come see you guys when I'm in Raleigh. So.
Hey, man, come on down. Come on down.
Yeah, I'm there quite a bit in the offseason. So.
Hey, anytime. Yeah. Door's always open.
Sounds good.
No doubt. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thanks, guys.